The Pre-Order Power Hour is your source for new number ones, ongoing series, and plenty of comic book banter to keep you ahead of the curve.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pre-Order Power Hour, the official podcast of the Comic Book Hideout. We're your hosts. My name is Ramon.
I'm Nate.
I'm Funky.
I'm Ten.
And we're employees of the Comic Book Hideout, and we're here to talk to you guys about some comic books. We're going to start off... Oh, and also, in the wings, we have the owner of the Comic Book Hideout.
Disembodied voice, Glennis.
Yay!
I'm here in spirit and also in vocal cords.
Yes, indeed. And today, we're going to start just how we started last episode in the first one. We're going to start with just some books we've been reading recently. We're going to narrow it down to about three. If you want to talk about maybe two, that's okay. But yeah, I'll start off like last time. I'll be quick, because last time maybe I took a little too long. Don't worry about it. This last month, I read the first issue of Ultimate X-Men, which was... Did you guys have to read it?
Oh, absolutely. It was
I really enjoyed it.
Sold out too quick.
Yeah. Way too quick. It was a great, like, I like that it didn't feel like X-Men.
Yeah.
Really, it kind of felt like its own story that's, like, building out just a completely new mythology on, like, mutants and, like, X-Men in this new world. And I love Peach. And she's the shit. I love Peach Momoko.
Yeah, no, and, extreme.
And she loves X-Men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you can really see it. Like, keeps the mythos, but it doesn't really read like a Marvel book all that much. Like, it's... very indie, it seems like.
Yeah, it's like, and it was like creepy, like in like very dark, like a lot darker than I would expect from any like honestly mainline Marvel book. Like not in terms of gore, but just like certain things that were in it were very like, oh, wow, okay, this is kind of deep. Okay, fuck.
Yeah, like subject matter, it's just wow, like yeah. Very. I mean, I'm already forming theories and stuff, like the sudden appearance of the Straw Dolls and stuff.
Yeah, so like a lot of stuff that connects deep into, like,
yeah, so
Japanese mythology and stuff.
Yeah, so we're probably dealing with a grudge or curse somehow.
Yeah, and she already dealt with that in Demon Days. So if you haven't read Demon Days, you can pick up back issues of that and trades.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome that Peach brings such an interesting take on that. I love that. I mean, Demon Days was totally wild and fun. I like, because X-Men has such a deep, deep mythos, you can do so much with it. You can go so many places. And Peach is definitely, like, taking the helm and the core of what it means to write an X-Men book and running with it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, exactly. And then from there, I'll move on to one of the other books I've been reading, The One Hand, which is a, like, one series in, like, a duo series where it's two separate books ongoing. One, they both take place in the far future, like, hundreds of thousands of years in the future, but, like, it doesn't look that far in the future. Like, the aesthetic of it almost... like, it reminds me of, like, a less futuristic Blade Runner. Like, that's the visual, like, aesthetic of it, but it's super far in the future, and one book is from the perspective of a detective hunting a serial killer, and the other book is from the serial killer's perspective.
Who doesn't know?
Yes, he doesn't know he's a serial killer. Like, he like, I don't want to spoil too much about that book, because I might end up talking about that on the next episode, next month. I might choose that one. But on the one hand, it's really cool. It's like, a detective who's, like, at the end of his career, literally the day he's retiring, and he hears news of this serial killer, who he's actually caught twice before. Like, there's been two people who have been convicted and sent to prison for these murders before. And, like, people think that the other one was a copycat killer, like, the second one that he caught. Other people think that the first person he caught wasn't even the real killer, and that the second person he caught was the real killer. And now there's this new person. And now he's, like, on the day of his retirement, was like, put those retirement papers away. You haven't signed them yet, like, talking to his police chief. Like, I'm gonna find out who this is. And that's, like, the plot of that book. And it's really, really interesting. And I'm very interested to see how they, like, weave the two books together. And I don't know. And it's written by Rom V, which is cool. Specifically that one. The other one's a different writer. But yeah, that's another one I've been going at. Nice. And then last one, I'll make it quick, is Action Comics. I'm about to read the last part of Jason Aaron's run on it, like the 3-issue arc. And it's really fun. Bizarro turned all of Metropolis, not even Metropolis, the entire world into Bizarros. And the whole world is going crazy. And it's like a zombie apocalypse, but with the Bizarros. And Superman has no idea what to do, because he's the only, like, sane person left alive. So he goes to the person who in real life, or in the real world, is the craziest person and the absolute nuttiest person alive, who now is the sanest person alive, the Joker. So he goes to the Joker to try to figure out how to stop this. And the Joker is like super smart and is like, "What's up, Bat? What's up, Superman? Like, I'll help you, dude. What's going on? I got you." And it's really silly. Yeah,
he's just chill.
Like, he's just chill.
I love Jason Aaron. Right? I love Jason Aaron so much. He always takes a take on stuff that's really fun and interesting.
Yeah.
You hear he's doing Turtles?
What?
Yeah, he's doing Turtles.
More on that later.
Yep.
Indeed, actually, yeah. But yeah, that's what I've been reading recently. Tenor, you guys want to talk about stuff you've been reading?
Yeah, so I'm honestly doing some manga reading, rereading some Akira Toriyama, honestly, rest in peace. But it's very interesting. I'm seeing a lot more people exploring the works that didn't get popular here. So a lot more people are talking about Dr. Slump. So I've been picking up random volumes, reading that. Extremely hilarious. Like, the guy had a great sense of humor. Like, the original design for Piccolo was, like, his editor that he absolutely hated. Like, his editor came up to him. It's like, "Hey, Goku needs a villain. Like, you know, think of somebody you hate." And so he drew his editor. Like, and this was, like, the second occasion he did that. Like, in his comedy series, Dr. Slump, same thing. Editor came up. It's like, "Hey, you need a villain." And Toriyama's like, "This is a comedy series. It doesn't need a villain." "No, you really need a villain." So he just drew his editor. Like... other series I'm reading is Demons of the Shadow Realm. It's same creator as Full Metal Alchemist. Still same kind of tones about like family. It follows two twins. The brother grew up in this village and, you know, thought he was taking care of his sister. And then there's a raid from like this organization and he finds out, oh, the sister he's taking care of isn't his sister. It's some weird shadow being, and the village that he's part of was all in on it. And then he finds out, oh, one of the people that was in the raiding party is his sister. So he goes out into like the wider world and is kind of figuring out like his powers and, you know, like this weird prophecy that's like surrounding him and his like twin sister. It's really good so far. Only read the first volume and it's still relatively new. As for comics, I mean, we already talked about Ultimate X-Men and also Transformers. That's still been really good. And I think Hasbro has been hearing how good it is and been doing some solid product, like the Target Truck Optimus Prime. And
yeah, we're not going to talk too much about that one.
Yeah, but anyways, like Young Nate, what are you reading?
Transformers. I just read the issue 6 of the first arc. I think Daniel Warren's just killing it as always. I wasn't surprised at all when he was announced on this series, and it's just continued to exceed my expectations. I think it was a really, really cool way to end off the first arc of his story. I'm interested to I'm looking forward to see how Jorge Corona takes over. I'm looking forward to seeing his stuff. What else? I just finished, or I guess not finished because it's still in the process of being done, but I got caught up with Headlopper by Andrew McLean. I was reading that as of the last podcast, and I just finished volume 4, and fantastic. Everything I said about it in the first podcast, I can only say more of. It's really fun series. If you can check it out, definitely do. Great art, great humor, just really dope time. And then manga wise I just started reading 20th Century Boys by Naoki Urasawa.
So good.
I love Naoki Urasawa. I love Pluto. That's one of, if not my favorite manga, period. I've read Monster, love that. So 20th Century was kind of the next one. So I just read the first volume of that couple days ago, and I love it. It's very much more sci-fi mystery thriller, I would say.
It's more of like a modern sci-fi. I think it's like set in like 2002.
I think it's 2000.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, it's definitely 2000.
Yeah, 2000. Yeah. But so it's just quick synopsis. It's just this follows this group of boys as they're growing as they've grown up into adults, and little by little one of the main character, Kenji, he notices a lot of similarities to this cult that is gaining popularity in the vicinity of where he lives in Japan, and a lot of those similarities coincide with that group of boys that he grew up with, and I think that's I think that's a good mini soft description. So yeah, check it out. Naoki Urasawa is a fantastic writer and artist, so any of his works, definitely check it out.
Yep, the Nate's approve it. Yes. Like, it's double Nate approved.
Double Nate approved.
I have to jump in and say that I love Headlopper too. We have been a fan as the collective comic book kind of his stuff since his first shit, and we love Headlopper.
Yes.
Yeah, love Andrew McClane. He's a great dude. One of these days, we're going to get him in the store. Jeez. I've talked to him many times. Yep. I'm just a bad emailer, and he goes through awesome. Email.
He's a great guy. And
I should do that, though.
Yep. Please.
we love our cool indie creators.
And I talked to him at a Los Angeles convention, and Headlopper is not done. He's still working on it.
Oh, excellent. And, every time it stops, you're like, oh, but there could be more.
And we got more. So we'll be talking about more Headlopper soon. You know what I've been reading?
Check out Apocalyptic Girl as well, because he also did that. And
I love that.
Check out all his stuff. And Dave Moore Johnson. Funky?
Yes. I just been reading his initials, so we can get you up to date on stuff you need to order.
Yay! Oh my god. Yeah. Tell us. Preach it.
So let's start out with DC. DC, we got House of Brainiac. It's Brainiac coming back into the fold for the DC universe. He's been gone for a long time. And he's starting off with an all-out assault on Earth with a whole army of Zarnians. If you don't know what a Zarnian is,
Zarnians? It's not the Zarnians.
It's like an army of Lobos. That's actually kind of annoying. No.
Oh, yeah, it was his like species.
What? House of Brainiac? Yeah.
But yeah, and then that House of Brainiac like story is broken up over, it's not like a main, like it's not an event book, it's an event over the course of a bunch of books. So it starts in Action Comics 1064, which is the issue after Jason Aaron hops off. Joshua Williamson is manning the whole event, so he's going to be writing the main Superman title and Action Comics. So like I said, it's going to be starting with Action Comics 1064, releasing on April 9th. Then also releasing that day is going to be a tie-in for it. That's going to be Green Lantern number 10. Then the week after, we're going to be getting Superman number 13, which is going to be coming out April 16th. Then we have Power Girl number 8, which is another tie-in that's releasing April 23rd. Then the next core issue is going to be House of Brainiac number 1, like special, which is going to be like, the only like main House of Brainiac like issue like on its own, and that's coming out April 30th. And then the next Action Comics, which is going to continue it, is Action Comics 1065, releasing May 14th. Superman number 14, releasing May 21st. And then the next and final tie-in is Power Girl number 9, releasing May 28th. So that was a lot of information, but if you were looking to read the House of Brainiac story, I would definitely recommend trying to go through those, because it's going to be a little confusing trying to like jump around through the different issues.
Yeah, and it seems like a nice, good self-contained event, nothing too crazy, so it's manageable. You can pick it up. Premise seems interesting, and I heard there's going to be some new characters, possibly a new Brainiac. Who knows?
Sure, I've heard, from the previews and stuff, it looks, all the stuff with the army of Zarnians looks really fun, and all the Lobos, the different Lobos and
all
stuff.
Lobos.
Yes.
All the Lobos.
I'm pretty sure he'll show up, because I know like his lore, the Zarnians are absolutely pissed with him.
Yeah,
like,
did Brainiac take the Zarnians?
No, Lobo.
Yeah, no.
Lobo, as like an experiment, pretty much eradicated all his own race.
Yeah, so his backstory is like he's the only violent Zarnian. Mm-hmm. And because he was like bored, he was just like, I'm just gonna kill off my entire planet.
That sounds like Lobo.
Yeah, it's,
yeah. Yeah. The next book seems really interesting. Is that the Batman Dark Ages?
Yes, yes. Yeah. We have Batman Dark Ages, which really excited about. Do you want to?
Yeah, Nate, sure. You should go into it because you like you some Mike Allred.
Yes, I do love too. Mike Allred. Yeah, so if you read Superman Space Age, I believe it is the same. Is it a Russell?
Yes.
Yeah, Mike Russell. So same team as Superman Space Age. They are bringing their spin to Batman. And what?
Oh, I was just like, but what makes this different?
Yeah, so this story, it starts out with an older Bruce Wayne. He's like in this old person hospital, and it's just it's kind of just him with this journal just reflecting on his life, I think, as his memory is going. So you're seeing him relive his life as Batman.
Unreliable narrator.
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's Mike Allred Batman. Doing Batman, so if I need to say any more, I don't think I do. So.
We love Mike Allred.
Yes. Shit. Love Mike Allred.
Remember when Mike Allred did the Silver Surfer?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Fantastic
dude,
series.
That was good.
Yeah.
Can't go with Allred. You can't go wrong with Allred because he's all rad.
Yes. But yeah, if you like Superman Space Age, if you like Superman Space Age, then definitely check this one out. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Yeah. And it's like set over like each issue, I'm pretty sure, like goes further like in his history, and like the book itself, from like what I've read of it, it's like set over like real historical events. Like each issue will be set in like a different like decade, and like whatever that decade is will have like actual events that happened and how like Batman affected like American culture and stuff like that, and how maybe these historical events affected Batman.
So I don't think it's the same Batman that's in Space Age, because spoiler alert, he dies in Space Age. Like
I didn't know that, Nate. No, I'm joking.
I didn't.
I said spoiler alert. Said spoiler alert.
Listen to his defense. Like it's an old book.
You have to say spoiler alert and then pause.
Yeah.
So I felt like that was a good pause.
They can
yeah.
Pause.
Yeah. Also. Also.
Funky's usually the spoiler. Yeah. I'm surprised it was you.
Yeah.
But and then issue one of that is coming out March 26th. So by the time you're seeing this, there's a good chance it's already out or it's about to come out. If it's about to come out, make sure to come down and pick up that first issue.
Yep.
And then issue March 26th, and then issue two is April 23rd. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, and then yes, and then our next issue we're gonna talk about is the final issue of Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong, issue 7, which I think originally it was gonna be a 6 issue. But now it's 7 because even
because it's so massive.
Yeah, it's insane.
On, right. Previews, on previews, it says 7 out of 6. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't update it. Like yeah. Where it's like out of 6 issues. Like it says 7 out of 6 issues. So.
I've seen that happen on books before. It's
yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like the original Transformers run. Oh yeah, that final.
Yeah, was it 72 out of
6
out
issue?
Of 6 issue miniseries.
So funny.
Well, anyways, we're alerting you because we keep selling out of it. Mm-hmm. So jump on that sooner or later.
It's great. Like one of the variants, Kong has like a Green Lantern ring, and just we were making fun of him. Like,
oh yeah, so his weakness is bananas.
Yeah,
because they're yellow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can't eat them. Like he'll starve to death.
Don't get me started on that yellow bullshit.
Listen, it's better than being weak against wood. I mean,
is it though?
That's actually a good. That's a good question.
Mean, I can relate. Yeah.
And so can Alan Scott.
Yep.
Sorry.
Wow. Come to think of it, like, if you don't know what Green Lantern you're fighting, you just get a yellow number 2 pencil. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
That's really true.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah. And Superman can't look through the center of that.
It's graphite.
Damn it. And last but not least, right? Because Juniba.
Yeah!
Yeah, Juniba.
Yeah, he's doing a DC Black Label for the Boy Wonder.
Yes, that's the title.
And it looks really cool. Yeah. I like Juniba's mm-hmm. artwork. What is the story of that setup?
It's really
you
cool.
know a little more.
I do, yeah. So pretty much. It follows Damian. Damian's like the main character of the story, and Bruce as Batman has to leave Gotham for certain reasons. And while he's missing, there's a string of kidnappings that's going on in Gotham. So Damian has to work with all of his siblings, like all of his adopted siblings, like Jason, Dick, Tim, and I think even some of the Batgirls, maybe Barbara. And come on now.
Gee, we're a very mature podcast, and we do not laugh at things like Dick.
Funny.
I wasn't laughing at Dick. I was just laughing at the fact that he has so many adopted male bird-like siblings.
There are a lot.
Coincidence.
But and then
coincidence or
but pretty much Dick has to fuck. Damian has to learn like how to work with all of them and like kind of grows his relationship out with all of them, and in the course of all of this, like, learn what it really means to be Robin. That's kind of like the point of this book. Yeah, and the art is really, it almost looks like a Cartoon Network show. Like, that's the vibe that it gives me.
I just want to see Jimmy Bot do Jason Todd.
Don't even get me started, dude. Oh my god.
Yeah, Junior Boss style is kind of like Jenny Tedekarski, but like if he was on shrooms.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah.
On next to Marvel.
On to Marvel.
Oh, wait, why did I talk like Yoda right
there? On next to Marvel. On next to Marvel. Okay, so first Marvel book we're going to talk about is going to be another kind of event thing, because I have
And it's a doozy.
Oh boy.
We're not going to talk about every tie-in. Yeah, so we're going to, I'm going to tell you about the main book and then some of the tie-ins that we think are ones that are worth mentioning. But so, Blood Hunt. Issue 1 comes out May 1st, and then issue 2 releases May 22nd. They're also, pretty much the plot is, the son, I think we briefly talked about it last episode. The son is covered up, and the whole world is like sent into darkness. So all the vampires are come out and are using this time to hunt down humans and superheroes and stuff.
Yeah, full on assault,
like a zombie apocalypse, but with vampires. Pretty much, that's like the vibe it's giving. And they're also going to be, since it's a vampire event, and Blade is going to be a big center of it, and it's kind of getting into the more horror stuff. They're going to be releasing Red Band issues, which are polybagged issues that are going to be a lot more gory and have a lot, and have basically extra pages and extra stuff of more grotesque, crazy stuff going on.
Yeah, so from Pepe LaRoz. Yeah,
so. Just make that the main one.
But
yeah.
Wouldn't be able to sell as much
because
of, you know, kids.
Yeah. Yeah, kids like vampires. You need to sell to the kids, man.
It's also called marketing.
Yeah. Well, then definitely check out the Red Band ones, because those are definitely going to be worth it.
Yeah. And then some of the tie-ins we're going to talk about are, they're doing a Midnight Suns tie-in, which is cool, a new Midnight Suns book.
Everyone loves Midnight Suns.
Yeah, I haven't seen that team in a while, so it's going to be fun.
Wasn't the last time, like, Doctor Strange Damnation?
I think so.
Since they grouped up. The Donnie Cates run, because he always pulls old school stuff.
Oh, I love Donnie Cates. That man can do no wrong.
Yeah, I hope you're doing okay.
But yeah, and then so we also, there's a Strange Academy tie-in they're doing. Ooh. So we're gonna be getting some Strange Academy back, which is
love
cool.
You, Humberto.
And it's in. I hope it's gonna be in New Orleans and stuff, because the whole idea of like a vampire thing set in New Orleans is pretty rad.
That'd be great.
Oh yeah, no one's done that before.
Yeah. Hey, but it's been a while.
It's never been done.
I know.
Vampires in New Orleans.
But it's
who the fuck it.
But it's Marvel.
What year is it?
Marvel.
Hey boy, what year is it? Is it 1984?
Marvel.
I think Interview with the Vampire just came out.
Listen, if it's in New Orleans, we'll go have a Gambit like cameo. He's gonna wave and he's like, yeah. He's like, you kids don't do anything crazy. I'm Gambit. I'm out of here.
What the fuck accent was that?
I don't know. I haven't been to New Orleans.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Remember the name.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to do New York accent. I was just being excited about the possibility of people not knowing who Anne Rice is. Because I'm old.
Not that old.
Ed.
Like,
never say that.
Shoot. I forgot.
Blood Hunters.
Yeah, next we got Blood Hunters.
Ooh.
Which, I'm going to be real. I picked it because it sounds like a cool name. And it's about people hunting vampires. I'm not 100% sure who's a part of this team, but if you want to
obviously
book,
hunt blood.
Yes, if you want to
wait,
book,
do they hunt blood, or does the blood hunt them? Who's hunting the blood? Are they hunting the blood hunters? Or is it a hunt on hunt? The hunters of the blood.
So
this is a Van Helsing storyline that we haven't heard before.
Exactly.
Who knew Van Helsing's children would still want to kill vampires? This is a brand new, never before told tale.
But the last tie we're going to talk about is Union Jack the Ripper.
That's hard.
That's pretty. Come on now.
It's interesting.
It's been a while since Union Jack, I feel like, has been.
Anyone cared about, because he's a colonial bastard.
He's killing vampires in this book, and they did the Jack the Ripper reference in the title, so you might. It seems.
You know what people love? Hunting vampires.
Yeah.
You know what they also love?
Jack the Ripper?
Jack the fucking Ripper. Who hasn't been played out? Jack the Ripper? When's the last time you saw a Jack the Ripper movie?
Hmm? Oh, God.
5 years? 10 years? 15 years?
3 months?
25 years? Yeah. How old are you?
All I know is Marvel. With this event, are we finally going to get to Blade Legacy issue 50?
I was going to say.
Good lord.
That's what we really needed. If we're going to hunt some blood.
We need Blade.
Hunters. We need hunting Blade.
Hunting the blood so, hunters.
I'm going to say, is this like a conspiracy to get like Blade a couple more Legacy issues? Is this
yeah, so they can be slightly less embarrassed like, when they sell us a $10.50 issue Legacy
like,
of Blade.
I'm going to say, like, did like, when the new Blade series come out, the heads of Marvels look at the Legacy issue and they're like, that's not right. He starred, like, our movies. Why is he only 30 issues? What's
because
going
on? Because he's that fucking cool.
Yeah.
That you is only true. Need that's 30 issues to tell everyone that you are a black man that's half vampire, that kills vampires, mm-hmm. that also frauds on his taxes. Yep.
Wesley.
Wesley.
But moving on from vampires, but not moving on from blood, we have Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's called World War III.
Well, I mean, because we've had two.
Yep.
And I guess they would start the third.
Numerically.
I don't know. I mean, they could have just called it three.
But I'm excited because it's not only Joe Kelly who wrote one of my favorite Spider-Man. Not that Mac. Well, it went out for a while, but he did Spider-Man and Deadpool, which was a great series with Ed McGuinness.
That was really fun.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. But it also has the Adam Kubert, who is phenomenal, who also did a astonishing Spider-Man and Wolverine title, which was also awesome.
That was also very
good. So, two awesome guys doing a hopefully awesome book.
Yeah, the Kubert's just done a ton of Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. Adam's done pretty much everything Marvel.
Yeah.
Pretty much same with Andy, but like I think they're both fantastic, but I he's also done so much stuff.
Yeah,
so much. So exciting.
The plot of this one is a lot more vague than it's just like, hey,
you don't say.
They're fighting.
You sell me on Deadpool and Wolverine.
It's very true. It's just like, hey, they're fighting. There's somebody who wants them to fight, and they're fighting. Hey, that's pretty much.
What are they, friends?
They might be.
They might be.
There's
friends.
A good chance.
But do they also want to fight each other?
I think they do.
These guys.
These hooligans.
Fighting each other, being friends. Fight each other again.
I mean, that's all we need to know. I think we've had way too many series that are just like, here's the beginning, here's the middle, here's the end. Now buy them.
Yeah.
Wait, but you think if we took two superheroes, the guys that are really good, and then they got in a tiff. You know, they got together and they said, you know what? I fucking don't like it when you say this shit to me. I want to fight you. And then they fight. And then you're fighting. It's like your favorite guys are all in the same book and they're fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, make it happen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, another Marvel pitch. New Double Trouble series.
Yes.
Deadpool Wolverine.
Yes.
Because kids love Wolverine and Deadpool. And I can't sell them anything. Yeah.
It's the forbidden fruit like scenario where it's just like, yo, these guys are cool. I saw them in like the X-Men 90 series.
But also, I played the video game where Wolverine's literally decapitating everyone.
Yeah.
I read Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe and I was like 9.
Yeah, dude.
And how's your psyche?
Awesome.
So the next book we got on is
good segue.
We have Edge of Spider-Verse number 4 coming out May 1st, and the reason we're talking about this guy is because it's going to be a little bit of a key, because it's going to be the first appearance of the Issa Rae Spider-Woman character Across the Spider-Verse.
To my knowledge, this is the first time that Across the Spider-Verse character from the movies ever crossed into like main continuity. It's like Marvel books.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to know who's the father?
Hi, Issa.
And then the next one, another Spider-Man related thing. We have Venom Separation Anxiety number 1 releasing May 15th. It's going to be the co-creator of Venom, David Michelin?
Michelin?
Yeah,
that sounds right.
David Michelin?
I'm joking.
David Michelin
is a star. Yeah, you beat me to it.
But But yeah, so Venom co-creator David Michelinie is writing the story, and it's going to be set, like a lot of Marvel books recently, in the past. It's going to be like in the early days of Venom's like history. I'm assuming that's between some big story and another. And it's going to be him fighting some reality-altering villain, like a villain who has abilities to like manipulate reality or something like that.
You don't say.
but yeah, that's pretty much all we know about the book. Oh, and one of the artists who has been on some of the Venomverse stuff. I'm forgetting exactly who it is, but one of the Venomverse artists is going to be doing the book. But yeah,
sounds cool.
And it's a cool Web of Spider-Man number one homage cover.
Yes.
For issue one.
Love to see it.
Anyways, what's next? You guys seem really excited.
Next, we
you
have...
You should be excited. Funky.
Sadly, what we have just recently found out is only going to be a one-shot.
Boo!
Don't boo.
I know.
Because we're still getting on YouTube.
Are you fucking
true.
Kidding me?
It's a one-shot.
Yeah.
So Doom...
I didn't fucking know this.
Yeah. It better be a big just one-shot.
Written by Jonathan Hickman and Sanford Green, also illustrated by Sanford Green.
It's only a one-shot.
It's a one-shot.
Yeah, I saw on
I'm gonna
the...
I'm going to start throat singing right now. It's going to get wild in here, guys.
Yeah, I saw like Hickman writing it. I'm like, oh, man, that'd be great. And ongoing with Hickman and Doom. It was great. I love it. I love it. And then you killed it, Ramon.
I'm sorry.
You killed it.
And
don't blame him. Blame Marvel.
But so it's going to be a very unlikely team-up. Doom is going to be working with Valeria Richards in this book. In order to obtain, the way they wrote it in the synopsis was some sort of power that no human being has ever been able to attain in order to save the universe from Galactus. That's what the title, that's what the plot of the book was.
Okay,
so shorthand is Dr. Doom versus Galactus. Sanford Green art, Jonathan Hickman writing.
Yes. Continuing on, we have Spider-Gwen Ghost Spider. Number one, which is going to be releasing... Oh, I'm sorry, also. The Doom One-Shot is going to be releasing May 15th. Same with the Venom Separation Anxiety.
Get your orders in!
Next, Spider-Gwen Ghost Spider, number one. It's going to be... I'm pretty sure... Is it an ongoing?
So it's promised to be a new ongoing. And the premise of it is because basically Spider-Gwen has been bouncing around from different universes for a cool minute now. But this is an all-new ongoing where she is permanently in the 616 universe.
Yes, and there's something going on where she's, like, there's something happening where she's not allowed to let anybody know she's there. She can't suit up as Spider-Gwen, and she can't, like, she won't let herself save anybody. Like, she's trying to just lay low for some reason, and we don't exactly know why, but that is something that I'm assuming we're going to find the answers for in that first issue. So if you're interested in Spider-Gwen and want to hop on that new number one, I highly recommend putting your order in as soon as possible. The next one we're going to talk about is in issue 3 of a book that is, well, at this point, will definitely have already come out, but we're just going to let you know about it in case you don't get X-Men 97, number 4.
Yeah!
Issue 3 is going to be releasing May 22nd as well, and it's going to be in the same continuity with the show that's coming out. I'm not sure if it takes place before or after the new one, like the continuation. I'm not 100% sure.
I think it's a...
Yeah, it's supposed to be a prequel.
Okay, yeah. So
or
the
prequel. Yeah.
So the comic,
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. So if you're a big fan of the 97 series, we probably have at least maybe a couple issues in the shop right now when this comes out. So be sure to come on down and try to pick some of those up. And then yeah, like I said, issue 3 will be coming out May 22nd. So be sure to check that guy out. Next one we got is another X-Men. It's the X-Men Wedding Special that they've been doing. I feel like
wait, which wedding? Whose wedding? I've seen so many X-Men weddings. I need to know exactly who it is and when, because my RSV must have been lost in the mail.
So the date of the
Destiny
wedding
and Mystique.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Releasing May 29th.
Yep.
Yeah.
Destiny and Mystique.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
And this marriage better
consider stay. Yourself invited.
Yep.
And what if Destiny gets cold feet? Because she's oh, I see where this leads.
That would be... Marvel, do not do that. This is like the third left at the altar, like,
what?
Story.
Yeah. A wedding? Yeah. With Marvel? Or superheroes in general that doesn't actually come to fruition of an actual marriage? Never.
Listen, the only marriage that stuck has been like Reed and Susan.
They were married before they started.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
They were married before the
stupid
entire
policy.
Fantastic Four started.
Yeah. Even Namor didn't break that up.
No, no, I love their... but he tried.
Yeah. Oh, isn't there a wedding issue?
Yeah, there is a wedding issue.
I have their wedding issue. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is that a prequel?
But in the 60s, they were already married. Oh. Because it was a note, it was uncouth to not be married.
Oh. And then they made them unmarried? And then they got married again?
They redid the canon. And, you know, they broke up with Namor, you know. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Read the Wikipedia.
Okay.
Anyways, Marvel, we need better marriages.
Yes.
We need some family values. I want to see Spider-Man and Mary Jane raising a baby with
Ultimate Spider-Man.
Ultimate Spider-Man. Hey, it's called Renew Your Vows.
Yeah, it is.
And there's a new one.
Yeah.
Okay, read that one.
It sells like hotcakes.
Yeah, and also we're about to be talking about another Ultimate book. The next Ultimate book actually coming out. That's the next book we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
It's going to be the first book in the new, like, stage of the new of the Ultimate Universe.
Because they're bringing it back.
We had the first run out of Ultimate Spider-Man releasing in January. We had Ultimate Black Panther from February. And then this month, Ultimate X-Men released. And then there's going to be a break on any new Ultimate books coming out until June 5th, which is going to be the Ultimates, number one, which is going to be following young Tony Stark, who at this point is Iron Lad. and a lot of other there's Captain America and Thor,
Wasp.
Part of this is them going around and collecting more heroes that were supposed to be heroes, but
I've never seen that before.
Yes, but because in this universe, the Maker, basically went throughout all of history and got rid of every single superhero. So there's no superheroes that exist, and certain people found out about this, including Tony. And he is trying to go around to all these people who were destined to become superheroes and give them the gifts that they were supposed to be given.
Wait a minute. Are you saying they wiped the slate clean and started over fresh with all of the same characters and the same storylines, but now with a brand new fresh finish?
Exactly.
Yes.
I've never heard of such a thing before.
Written by some guy.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, it's not just some guy. His name is Dennis Camp. He had wrote 20th Century Men, which I know is an indie book that a lot of people like.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Wrote.
I'm sorry.
I forgive it.
And then he also just did the Children of the Vault book that came out. That was a miniseries.
I've heard it was pretty solid.
It was pretty good too, yeah. And the art is going to be done by the guy who's been on Invincible Iron Man recently, Juan Fregieri.
He's been doing some solid work.
Yeah.
Solid art.
Yeah. That's pretty much all we got to say about that one.
Does that wrap up Marvel, too?
That does wrap up Marvel.
Oh, my God.
New segment.
We're going to be moving on to still... some of these books are going to be put out by Marvel. I think one of them is actually a Dark Horse book.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be talking about Star Wars, yeah. We're going to start off with Star Wars The High Republic Adventures Saber for Hire, which is pretty much about this person who was like a Jedi or some sort of Force wielder who has a lightsaber, and they're like a bounty hunter.
What you're saying, we're getting gray Jedi, and like they keep saying, no, gray Jedi aren't a thing. Don't bring up gray Jedi.
Yeah, man.
Force is either good or bad, and you're like either fucking light or dark. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, like bounty hunters being fucking Force wielders, but that shit is obviously not canon.
Yeah, you either shoot lightning or you push people.
One of the two.
But, you can't do both.
And then that guy's releasing April 17th. And then after that, we got Star Wars Jango Fett number 2.
Oh my god, yes.
If you didn't read the first one, that one has already come out by now, I'm sure. Definitely get on it.
Yep.
It's Jango Fett, come on now. And
it's,
in the second
he's
issue.
So cool.
He is.
He's so cool.
He's looking for an ancient artifact, and things go awry when he comes across Aurora Singh, who is one of his nemesis. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's... We're going to try to speed through some of these Star Wars ones.
Does he keep his hat?
Hopefully he better.
Yeah.
But
when looking for ancient artifacts, you always have to keep your hat.
Exactly.
Wrong Star Wars character.
And then we have the 25th anniversary special of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. Which is going to come out May 1st.
I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, and also
that was good times.
Me too.
Racing.
Yeah.
My dad let me skip school to watch that.
Yeah. Hey.
Good parenting.
Yeah.
Funkies.
I learned it.
Yeah.
Education.
I saw it in IMAX. Thank you, Taco Bell.
Oh, I'm remembering those Taco Bell commercials.
Oh, yeah.
That movie taught me that politics are a little boring.
Horribly racist?
That too.
Horribly racist.
Also, spinning does the trick.
Yeah, and that guy's coming out May 1st. And also, Jango Fett comes out April 24th. And then The Saber for Hire comes out April 17th. Forgot to say that. And then in the special, it's pretty much going to be about young Annie. And, like, it takes place a little story before the movie.
Did you hear
during
the voice?
And then after. But,
Annie. We're not going to talk about pederasty. It's okay. We'll save that for another episode.
And then we also are going to, we'll also speed through these other ones really quick. We have Star Wars, Darth Maul, Black, White, and Red number 2.
Oh,
it's gonna be,
I'm so excited for that.
It's going to be another anthology story. He's basically sent to take over, like, a mining colony. And then that guy's coming out May 29th. And then last two we're going to mention are just some fun variants. Star Wars 47 coming out May 2nd has a Shimi toy variant. So if you want a little Shimi toy variant, be sure to pick that one up. And then for Mace Windu number 4, there's a big old sexy Boss Nass variant.
Yes!
That's releasing May 15th. So
yes!
Make sure to pick that
very
guy.
Excited about that.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah, that's...
Boss Nass, man.
Yeah, it's Boss Nass, man.
But yeah, and next we're gonna be moving on to some of the indie titles. We have Man's Best. We have the first three issues all releasing. The first issue's probably gonna come out after this has come out, so we're also gonna talk about the
ones. I'm kinda stoked on that. It seems like a fun series, especially if you like pets.
Yeah, so issue 1 is releasing March 20th, issue 2 April 24th, and issue 3 May 22nd, and it's about the space travelers who get stranded on this planet and kidnapped by aliens. And they all have pets on board. Oh, not all of them. There's like three pets on board who are cats to some of the people. And they basically get fitted up in a bunch of mech outfits, the cats, and leave the ship to go find their owners. And
the cats.
Yeah, no.
There's a dog, a cat, and...
No, it's three cats.
Mm-hmm. What?
It's just, and the thing is, it's three cats. Mm-hmm.
Really? I saw a bunny, a dog, and a cat. Like, in the artwork.
Huh.
Anyways.
I don't know. Like, looking at
maybe
it.
Maybe it's just pets. I thought it was cats. Maybe I'm tripping. I might be tripping.
Honestly, looking at it, it looks like sci-fi Homeward Bound.
Yeah, and
like,
it's
Yeah.
And it's written by the writer of the Good Asian Noir book that came out last year. So
that's such cool. Well written. So yeah.
And anything
else? Okay. Looks like a good time. It's a short read.
Next,
5 issues.
We got something I'm sure you might want to talk about a little more. It's the Salmon Twitch Case Files, which is going to be... We have the first 3 issues coming out pretty soon. First issue coming out May 27th, second April 17th, and then the third May 22nd. It's going to be written by Todd McFarlane. And you're a...
Yeah. So if you love Spawn, but you also love like murder mysteries, any mystery titles in general, that's what Salmon Twitch usually dives into, because they're detectives. And they're just like a good duo. So it's like you don't know anything about Sam and Twitch. Sam is like grumpy, like the grumpy cop, you know, kind of know it all. And then Twitch knows it all and very calm mannered, highly skilled, like sharpshooter, kind of crazy duo. I always really wanted John Goodman to play Sam.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. That would have been so good.
Gary Oldman is Twitch.
Good job.
Yeah, I wrote a whole Spawn movie. It's never coming out. I used to write a lot.
Yeah, I got to read that. Yeah. You got to find that. Okay, next we have Feral numbers 1 and 2. First issue might be out by the time this comes out, or like maybe a couple days beforehand. So make sure to come to the shop and pick it up. Mm-hmm. It's by the same creative team of Stray Dogs. And the first issue is releasing May 27th. Yeah. And then the second issue is releasing April 24th. And pretty much... It's these cats are. I might have been thinking. You know what? I think
it's one cat.
Man's. I think it's a three.
What
for Feral?
Yeah, I think
so. So Man's Best is three pets.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
That's what I.
And Feral is about
three stray cats. Mm-hmm. That's straight. Three indoor cats. I'm sorry. Yeah, three indoor cats.
Was it three indoor cats? I thought it was like one kitten that just got brought in home.
No, it's
right before.
It's like a group of cats.
It's a group of cats.
Okay.
At least three. I remember seeing the preview. And pretty much a zombie rabies virus breaks out. And the family of these cats, or at least one of the cats. It might be like, I think it's like one cat on its own. And then he meets up with two others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's what happens. And their family just leaves the pets at home alone. and they have to kind of group together and learn to fend for themselves in this zombie animal world, which it seems really cool and really fun.
Yeah, didn't they have a preview of it recently?
They did. Yeah,
like I'm not tripping because I remember like flipping through it. It looked really good.
Yeah, and nice. We're getting relatively towards the end. We have some more indie titles going off, but I'm sure we're going to end up going through some of these a little faster. We have Geiger 1 and 2 releasing April 3rd and then May 8th, respectively.
My birthday!
Birthday! Yay! And Geiger for your birthday. Do you want to talk about Geiger at all?
Yeah, Geiger, if you haven't got a chance to read that, that is a new Jeff Johns. That was running.
Gary Frank still.
Gary Frank is the artist on it, yeah. But Jeff Johns, he's creating his own universe with an Image. But Geiger is the main title. It's set in a world that's like in a World War III scenario. They call it the Unknown War because out of nowhere, every nuke got set around the world. So now everybody's living in like,
Wasteland
kind of world. You need a hazmat suit just to roam around unless you're in a closed off facility. Unless you're Geiger because he's essentially a radioactive man. Mm-hmm. But it's been a cool like world that they built so far. Yeah. They did a short run for Geiger. He did a Geiger 2, and then they're starting there's a red coat that's like basically an immortal that he's been around since World War I. Yeah, actually, no, red even
coat.
Before.
Oh, the red coat, yeah. Revolutionary.
Yeah, he's been around since the Revolutionary War.
It's fucking
he was a Revolutionary War guy that just didn't die, and then found that out and became a gun for hire. So he's been around since the beginning. There's another guy that's like a rope, like a Junkyard Joe.
Yeah,
he's like a mech guy. I think this is just full on cyborg. Mm-hmm. There's a Exodus Rook that is a new character I have no idea about.
But he looks cool.
He looks cool. And I had a couple people that are coming in just for the artist that's on the book. That's not Gary Frank.
Is it Ivan Reis?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Love Ivan Reis. I love you. Your work on your Green Lantern is fantastic.
Yeah, so, Jeff Johns, good hands. It's definitely worth a read. The first trade is dumb cheap. It's like $9.99 for a thick book. I definitely start with that.
Six fun issues.
Hell yeah. And next is another book we talked about a bit last time, so I'll just go over it really quick. It's Creature from the Black Lagoon Lives, issue 1, releasing April 24th, and then issue 2, May 29th. Pretty much, quick rundown, a reporter. It's a sequel to the original movie. And a reporter is following a lead about a serial killer to the Amazon. And while she is hunting for the serial killer in the Amazon, she comes across the creature from the Black Lagoon. It's written by Rom V and artist from Manifest Destiny, I believe. Yeah, something Waters. Someone.
That sounds.
I think. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, so that one looks pretty cool. And then this next one, I know Funky is very excited about.
Oh, is it Popeye?
It is Popeye, number 1, releasing May 1st.
Dude, yeah, no, I remember walking in, Funky's just like, yo, dude, there's Popeye. And I'm like, I didn't know you're a Popeye fan. He's like, no, look at this. And yeah, I looked at, like, the art looks great. Like,
Yeah. So I'm just a fan of animation as a whole. Like, I love the history of animation. So any old school cartoon stuff. I usually dig, this new Popeye story that they're bringing back, it feels very manga-esque, mm-hmm. Great action sequences, it's basically like One Punch Man, Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, kind of, but Popeye,
mm-hmm.
The style is very reminiscent of Astro Boy, too, especially Olive Oil, mm-hmm. But it looks fun.
And it's gonna, like, delve into, I guess, a lot of, it's like, past and like his backstory and stuff, and then we're gonna find out how he lost his eye.
Ooh,
like that's a big thing that I get something they're gonna talk about in the book. So they're gonna reveal some fun Popeye mysteries. Which
that's
is cool.
God, yeah, I don't think that's ever been mentioned.
Yeah, literally just Popeye shows up, chugs like spinach, and beats the shit out of people. Like
Robin Williams,
like it's so cool, and like them expanding the lore. That's also like really cool.
And another great one. We got a good little run right here.
Dude, yes, Space Ghost.
Good job. Oh yeah, my god, Space Ghost. Yeah.
I am
number one. Releasing May 1st.
Yeah, I am so excited for this. Like, absolutely love like Space Ghost. Love Coast to Coast. Shoot, like there was a miniseries that DC did, like a while back. Really, really great run on it. Art was amazing, story was amazing, and I've got high hopes for like the new, like, you know, series. So we'll see how it goes. I know Dynamite's been trying out new stuff and new crazy things, so we'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
But it looks gritty, yeah. By the way. We got the ash can. It's,
yeah.
Oh. Yeah. If you're expecting yeah, just, it to be funny, it's not.
Yeah, just like the
it's not yeah. funny.
It's not. He is not taking calls. It's going to be like the DC miniseries.
I can't wait to see Brack.
Oh, my God.
Next, we're going to be talking about TMNT Black, White, and Green, which is pretty self-explanatory. It's basically going to be a series of anthology stories, all only using black, white, and green and for the coloring. A lot of cool different people are going to be a part of it. And if you're a TMNT fan, you're definitely not going to want to miss out
check
on that
check it
one.
Out.
Definitely. Yeah. And then...
it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
The new one coming out, right?
That's just black, white, and green. This is,
oh, wait. I thought...
We'll talk about that later. That's almost, well, that's almost mm-hmm. here. A little something for later. Yeah. But Something's Killing the Children, issue 37. Oh, and I'm so sorry. TMNT Black, White, and Green is going to be releasing on May 8th. Mm-hmm. But Something's Killing the Children 37 comes out May 22nd. That's going to be a new jumping in point. For a lot of people, if you've been looking to get on that book, or maybe you read some of the earlier issues and you dropped off and you want to hop back in, it's going to be a good point. It's going to be a prequel, pretty much, about Erica Slaughter's backstory and a little bit on kind of how she kind of grew into who she was, I guess.
Yeah, so it's just all one-shots, each issue coming out for this next arc. Mm-hmm. They're all different like missions she went on before the main story started.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's going to be... interesting. A lot of the setup with the past stuff, like the Book of Butcher and stuff, where they're showing off monsters we haven't seen yet. So I'm gonna be
want to see some dragons.
Yeah, dragons would be cool. Like the specialty monsters, that would be cool because they've been like really teasing, like, you know, the Silver Mask a lot. Yeah. So I think it might be close to like, you know, us seeing some Silver Masks.
Yeah, and then. We got the releasing May 29th, Godzilla 70th Anniversary issue, which is pretty much just going to be like another anthology of a bunch of short stories. But one of the reasons I'm really excited about it is because James Stokoe is going to be doing a short story in it, who has done some great Godzilla stuff in the past. So that's really exciting.
And hey, speaking of Godzilla, congratulations to the VFX team of Godzilla Minus One. Yep,
you guys deserve it.
For their Oscar. Fantastic movie. Mm-hmm.
If you haven't like seen just any of the VFX breakdowns for the work those people did for like the extremely limited crew they had, it's crazy. You've
it's fucking
check it
nuts. I was gonna riot if they didn't win that Oscar.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna be moving on to the final two books we're gonna be talking about. I think we maybe been going for a bit long, so I don't know if we're gonna have time to do our book of the month segment today, but that's okay. Will you save that boy for next episode?
Yep.
We'll double time
Transform.
Next episode.
Transformers.
No surprise. Next month, we'll do a little recap telling you about March as well as what our favorite book of... next month, we'll tell you about our favorite book from February as well as our favorite book from March.
That's good.
Yeah. But last two books, we're going to be moving on to Grommet, number one.
Yeah.
Which is releasing May 29th, written by Rick Remender, and pretty much...
Is there going to be cheese?
Maybe.
Oh my god.
It takes place in the, I think, 1984.
Wallace and Gromit.
Oh.
Yeah.
It takes place in like the mid 1984 in like Central California, I think. And it's about these two kids from like not great homes and not great family lives who find comfort in skate culture. And it's about just their journey of self-discovery and this kind of coming-of-age story set in the 80s to skating, nice. Which is rad. Mm-hmm. And the art looks really cool. And but yeah. And then final book we're gonna be talking about is going to be called TMNT Alpha, number one, releasing June 5th. That's pretty much going to be a prequel book that is setting up the new Jason Aaron ongoing series that's going to be starting.
Yes.
The first issue is going to be about Donatello, and it takes place after the final I think what's the final TMNT?
I guess probably 150. Yeah, they've been hyping up 150. Yeah. It's a new number one.
Yes. No. This.
But
is
TMNT, it's going to continue it.
This is TMNT Alpha. Yeah. That's. Yeah. Okay. It's pretty. This series is going to be, I think, 4 one shots. That set up each turtle for the next new number one book.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting because I was under the impression like, you know, this was a new series, new universe.
That's what I thought as well. But when I was doing research for this, like one of the things about this issue is gonna be Donatello, I guess, coming back from the future. Because in the new one, they're in the future.
Yeah, right? So they're in the future. Venus de Milo has like a full body. It's wild.
Yeah, so pretty much this.
Okay.
It's like, I'm assuming the Jason Aaron run is going to kind of set up a new status quo and like start new things, but this TMNT Alpha series is going to bridge the two runs.
Okay, so this is the Alpha that's coming out.
Jason
and
Aaron
then,
is still writing it as well.
Okay.
And then Jason Aaron is writing all the standalone turtle books, but each of those have different artists attached to
exactly.
it. I'm excited for Cliff Chang. Cliff Chang. Sanford Green?
Sanford Green, I think.
Stan Sakai?
No.
Oh.
No.
Raphael Albuquerque?
Yes.
Yes.
But yeah, we're really excited for that.
No,
I'm really excited because I've been wanting to read TMNT for a while, but it's really intimidating when a series is already in the hundreds and, like, I don't know. I love Jason Aaron.
So. X-Men.
But yeah, no, like, it's... Like, I'm really glad they're continuing the IDW universe. Like, I've read the first two Omnis. Very, very solid stuff. Like, it has the essence of what makes the Turtles fun, amazing. But it's a bit more mature. Like, you still get the funny mutants, the fun stuff, but it just goes into some crazy, crazy stuff.
Hell yeah. But, yeah, guys. I think that's gonna wrap it up. Like I said, we're gonna save the Book of the Month segment for next episode. So next episode we're just gonna do a double part. We're gonna tell you our favorite book from February and from March.
Yep.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you watched the whole thing, appreciate it. We really do.
Yeah. If you watch the entirety, just type hug bees in the comments or something.
Yeah, come into the shop if you're local. Mm-hmm. Give us some feedback. I love to hear about the feedback. Mm-hmm. If you're tuning in from out of state and you've never met us before, check us out on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's just at Comic Book Hideout. Yeah, we lucked out. You know, Comic Book Hideout is all our social media. Yeah.
We also have a hip comic store, so if you're not local, if you want the hip comics website and look up Comic Book Hideout, we have at the moment over 10,000 listings.
A lot. And we're not done.
But yeah, thank you guys so much again for tuning in.
Thank you.
And we hope to see you on the next episode of Pre-Order Power Hour. Thank you guys so much.
Bye.
Bye. Awesome.
Have a nice time.
Bye. Have a beautiful time. 3-Order Power Hour, the Comic Book Hideout podcast, is hosted by Ramon Quezada, Nate Basil, Nathan Smith, and Mark Garcia. It is produced by Glennis Speak and Bryce Rankins. This episode was edited by Ramon Quezada. Logo designed by Nate Basil. Find us on Instagram at Comic Book Hideout. The opinions voiced by the hosts of this podcast do not necessarily reflect that of Comic Book Hideout Incorporated. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.